Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
You know me, I love my stories out of Canada. And a Canadian judge has cited a Seinfeld episode in a ruling. So immediately I go, there is a jurist we should study. Scott sent me a story out of CTV, is of course the news organization. Alex Antoneshin wrote the story. Alberta judge cites Seinfeld in allowing Edmonton man's appeal. A justice has allowed an Edmonton man's appeal based on an unusual precedent set not by law but by Seinfeld's George Costanza. In the Kiss Hello episode 17 of season 6, Costanza cancels a physiotherapy appointment within 24 hours. Later he finds that he's been charged a $75 cancellation fee and would face a second fee if he were to cancel the next day's appointment. But when he shows up at the office the next day, the receptionist informs him the physiotherapist has personal affairs she had to attend to, and that she canceled on him. And he then says, I'm sorry, I require 24 hours for cancellation. Now, as I see it, you owe me $75. Will that be cash or check? Upon learning the therapist spent the day skiing with Elaine, he confronts her and says, oh, so your time is more valuable than mine. Now, on Thursday, a Court of Queen's Bench of Alberta Justice found a similarity there between George's problem and that of a local man before the court. The man's appeal and request for a new trial date came after a months-long bungling of dates and times by both the court and the appellant. And one thing you have to know is that when you are in court and there's appeals that you want to make off the case, the deadlines for appeals are very, very tight. And it'll say you must file your appeal in 21 days. And then it'll say to perfect the appeal, you must do the following things. And there's like five or six things you've got to do. And it's a lot of running around and stuff. And it's a nightmare. I've done appeals. It's a lot of work. And deadlines are drop dead. If you miss a deadline, it's extremely difficult. Now, I've seen situations where you can miss a deadline and the court will actually say, if you miss the deadline and you have good cause as to why you missed the deadline, you can ask the court for leave to allow you to file an appeal late. So you're basically asking for permission to file your appeal late, and they, of course, can deny that if they want to. So it gets murkier and uglier if you miss these dates. But the Edmonton man had received $500 in tickets in July of 2018 in relation to a dog attack. After pleading not guilty, he was scheduled to go to trial at 1:30 on January 31st, 2019. On that day, however, the court did not have time to hear his trial and rescheduled him for 9 a.m. October 16th. So we can't get to you today. We'll get to you in 9 months. At 9 a.m., when he was not there, the man was convicted in absentia, which is Latin for meaning he wasn't here. You hear about that a lot of times with like war criminals and so on. But generally speaking, if you don't show up for court, you can get defaulted if it's a civil action, and they can also find you guilty if it's a criminal action. So here he is convicted. Then he showed up 2 hours later at 11 a.m. And he said that he had a reasonable excuse. He thought the trial was at 1:30. Now, remember, his original trial in January was scheduled for 1:30. But it was 9 a.m., the schedule that the court said was for the October date. But Justice John Little cites several cases also, not just Seinfeld. He cites some actual cases. In considering whether mistaking the start time is a reasonable excuse, noting that neither the appellant nor the court was without fault. In the decision, he wrote the man had shown intent to go to trial and that earlier cases didn't support the man missing his day in court. But Little wrote the man would face a similar injustice as Costanza if he was penalized and refused a court date when the court itself bungled its dates twice and required his attendance both times. The man's appeal was allowed and a new trial will be set. So it's unclear here what the court bungled other than simply not being able to try him on the first date. But it's no question that the first date was at 1:30 in the afternoon. The second date, they claim, was set for 9 a.m. But generally speaking, I've heard of people before who've shown up in court on the wrong time, but the correct day. And that's happened before. And, you know, most courts do set things. So they'll say that, you know, if you're going to be there in the morning, they'll set it for 9. If you're going to be there in the afternoon, they'll set it for 1:30. And I've had people go, wait, Steve, there's like 400 people here. We're all set for 9 o'clock. Not 400, but, you know, maybe 100. And no. What's going to happen is they're going to start calling cases at 9, but they're going to go through, and some people won't get called till 11:45, okay? That's what happens, okay? But the idea that there are also courts, they go, okay, we'll actually set some for 9, some for 10, some for 11, some for 12, just to space it out and to be more reasonable. And then, of course, what happens then is sometimes they'll clear the 9 o'clock docket and there's nothing to do for 15 minutes if they get lucky. So some courts don't like to do that. But I've seen it before where somebody shows up and goes, I thought it was 11 o'clock, not 9 o'clock. So here the guy shows up a couple hours late, and I can see a court just saying, you know something, we'll set it aside due to the reasonableness of this error. But I can tell you, and I know a little far afield, but I had a case in front of a judge in 46th District Court, which is Southfield, Michigan. And it was a case involving a car, and there were three attorneys on one side, me on the other side, and we all go to court. And I know many of the attorneys in the field, so I routinely sit with them, and I know them, and we talk, and blah, 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 you know. So I go to court, and I recognize my friends. I sit down, we're all looking around, and all of a sudden we realize there's one guy's not there. One attorney's not there. And it's an attorney we know, you know. But as we're wondering if these guys are going to show up, the case gets called. And we all walk up the bench, and it's a status conference kind of case. And the judge goes, okay, state your appearances. And somebody goes, hey, by the way, other guy's not here yet. And we know him. He should be here, but he's not here, you know. And the judge goes, oh, okay. And the judge looks at the clock and he realizes that it's getting kind of late in the morning. There's a chance the guy's not going to be here. We're not going to wait because lunchtime's coming up. So the judge goes, how about this? He goes, and a lot of times judges will just do things to get them done. And I've also seen judges have their clerks do everything. The judge goes, hang on a second. He pulls out a pleading and he looks at the guy's office phone number and just dials the guy's number, puts the guy on speakerphone. And the guy's secretary answers the phone. And I actually knew his secretary. I recognized her voice. She answers the phone. She goes, you know, Bob Johnson's office. And the judge goes, hello, this is Judge so-and-so calling from the 46th District Court. Is Bob Johnson there? She goes, yeah, he's right here. And the judge goes, well, I'm sorry, but I've got three attorneys in front of me, and this morning is set for a status conference. Can you let him know that? And she goes, hang on. And she apparently just hands him the phone. And she goes, you're supposed to be in court right now. We heard her say that, but we did not hear her say, and he did not hear that it was the judge on the phone. And remember, this is on speakerphone in open court. He gets on the phone and lets loose with a tirade, a string of obscenities. And he's not swearing at the judge. He's swearing, in essence, at himself and at his secretary. But he's like, I'm so sorry, I didn't know I was supposed to be in court right now. Where's my effing book? You know, calendar. He's looking at the calendar and he starts yelling at his secretary. And literally every other word out of his mouth is the F-bomb or some other bomb. And he pauses for a brief second and the judge goes, Mr. Johnson, this is Judge so-and-so. You are on a speakerphone in court. The courtroom bursts into laughter. And me and my friends are all just sitting there going, because like, what can we do? But we feel sorry for the guy. He got, you know, he got blindsided. He screwed up, but he got blindsided. And then he started apologizing. Just a string of apologies, just as groveling as all the blue streak swearing he'd been doing a minute earlier. Judge goes, no problem, apology accepted, but your co-counsel, you know, your fellow brethren counsel are all here. I'm here. Does anybody have an objection to us doing it? And we're like, no. For that kind of entertainment, it was worth it. So a couple of days later, I bumped into that attorney in another courtroom, and I said, hey, I saw a show you put on in 46th District Court the other day. He's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But, you know, I worked in radio for a long, long time. They told us that anytime you're in a room with a microphone, assume it's on and assume you're on the air. Because if you walk into a room and swear and it goes out over the air, it's a federal offense. Station can get in trouble. You can get in trouble. You could lose your job. And when someone calls your office and somebody hands you a phone and you don't know who's on the other end, don't start swearing up a storm because it might be the judge. And, you know, in 28 years, I'm trying to remember if I've ever been called by a judge. I don't think I have, but I think I may have been called once. But it could happen. So there you go. But again, the story out of Canada is the judge has decided to go easy on the guy and drew parallels to George Costanza, who has taught us many important lessons about life. There you go. Questions, comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. It is a mistake to allow any mechanical object to realize that you are in a hurry.